Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries, over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on story time stories right after this. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes if you're self-employed. Well, then, shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 from your $50,000 income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying 17% income tax on the whole $50,000 original amount? But you know the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of the $50,000 in Social Security tax. Then they make you pay 17% of that same $50,000 in income tax. That means you're paying 17% on that $7,650 twice. Now that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from everyone who pays this tax. Now, what would you think if Sears or Penny's or your credit card company charged you twice like Social Security and the IRS does? Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. And remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. Now, our school tax and status is available on compact disc, and it is available for home education. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, last time we were talking about this thing of a denizen. A denizen is a part of a three-party status that begins with citizenship somewhere. That's where you were born. And then, if you were to leave that country where you were born, you'd become an alien in any country that you go into. What would happen if you expatriated your citizenship in the country in which you were born, but you didn't leave? Then what would you be called? Those are called denizens. So last time we talked about this thing of a denizen. Found out he's got a couple of perks and privileges here that most people don't have. But is that something that's desirable? What about citizens and citizenship? So I said last time, let's take a look at this thing of citizenship. Now, inasmuch as citizenship is a privilege, not due of common right, it is the inherent right of every independent nation to determine for itself and according to its own constitution and laws what classes of persons shall be entitled to its citizenship. So citizenship is something that a corporation gives. The United States of America is a corporation. It's got a board of directors. We call it Congress. It's got a chief executive officer. We call him the president. It's got a legal department. We call it the Supreme Court. It's got a number of branches and bodies which govern and regulate its business. It's a business enterprise or organization. And there are people who are taxpayers, commonly known as stockholders, who participate in its profits and gain. Now, it has officers. It has managers. And these officers and managers have you know, authority and power, and they make a lot of money. This master corporation creates significant minor corporations like IBM and DuPont and Standard Oil and things like that. And then you get to work for these corporations, and these are privileges. These are commercial privileges and benefits that everybody covets and desires. I don't deny it. And the question arises, well, is it worth it, or what do you have to give for it, or what is the reciprocity? Now remember, membership in a political society is called citizenship, and it implies a duty of allegiance. Allegiance is worship. Allegiance is obedience on the part of the member, and a duty of protection on the part of the society. So it's a protection racket. If the mafia were doing this, we'd call it a protection racket. When the government does it, we call it the guardian ward relationship. So you come in here as a ward of the state, and you're designed and you're created as a ward of the state. This is called fealty. Fealty. This comes from feudalism. And the king has a duty to provide for the future. And so he needs to have workers who are going to work on the plantation in years to come. He knows that you, the older workers, are going to die, so we have to have younger workers trained for the workplace. And this is why we have education. So the government trains and educates people so that they can go into the workplace, and in the workplace they can work and produce. They produce taxes, and those taxes then go to the sovereign. It's a reciprocal process. It's what we call the system. It's a part and parcel with government. It's the exact opposite from what we see in the Ten Commandments. Remember, the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." So the United States of America is a sovereign. A sovereign is a lawmaker is a god. Now, God, the creator of the universe, said you're not to have any of these other gods ahead of him. And we all do that. Love it. Furthermore, we're told by God, the creator, that we're not to add to his law and we're not to take away from it. You see that in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. And Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, says don't do that. The very purpose for Congress is to alter, reform, amend, or change the law of God. Doesn't have any other purpose. So we have income tax laws which take the place of tithing laws. In other words, we have created a parallel government right alongside that Ten Commandment government of our Creator. And then we worship, that is, we owe our allegiance to, and we practice its laws, even though we've been told not to. I know you've been told that you're to obey the laws of the state. I heard that. But that's not what the scripture told you. That's what your teacher told you in public school. It's what mom and dad told you. But that's not what God told you. Now listen to this. Here it is in Leviticus 18. Verses 1 through 5. Here's what God told you about worshiping the state and about worshiping him. He said, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, You speak unto the children of Israel, and you say to them, I'm the Eternal, your God. I'm your sovereign. I'm your creator. I'm your maker. You practice my law." He says in verse 3, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. And neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Eternal, your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and do my judgments, in which if a man do, he shall live in them, because I am the Eternal." In more modern English, if we were to read that today, it would read like this. "And after the doings of the land of the United States of America, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Texas, where I bring you, shall you not do. And neither shall you walk in their statutes, judgments, and ordinances. You shall do my judgments, and you shall keep my statutes and my ordinances to walk therein, because I am the Eternal your God. And you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them, because I am the Eternal." Now, when you go to church, have you ever heard any preacher ever stand up and say, "Well, you ought to obey God rather than men"? I've been around for a long time, boys and girls. I haven't heard one do that yet. Now, in Acts 5, verse 29, there's that statement. It says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, to give you an illustration, you're not to be numbered in Israel. It's a statutory prohibition against it. And yet, here in the United States, we have a statutory provision that requires, based upon a constitutional mandate, Title 13, Section 2102, I believe it is, 2125, something on that order, that you're to be counted, that you're to participate in the census. Now, here's God telling you not to do that, and here's the state telling you to do that. Now, God tells you you're not to have any unjust weights or balances, and the government comes along and says, oh, no, we got Federal Reserve notes, stocks, and bonds, and that's what we want you to deal in. God tells you not to practice usury and interest, and we say, oh, no, we got to have 30-year mortgages, and we got to practice usury and interest in our economy. Now, there's 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments here that we got from Moses at Mount Sinai. They're organized into 133 titles or subject matters of law. And here in the United States, we violate 81 and practice 52. Now, that's why we're having a depression. That's why we're having problems. It's because we're now violating so many of these laws of God that they're coming back and they're ganging up on us. Now, this citizenship thing over here is a direct opposition to the First Commandment. Now, your state wants you to be a citizen of the United States. You know, the state of Germany wants you to be a citizen of Germany and France and so on along the line. And it makes all the sense in the world for those politicians to want you to do that. It's part and parcel with feudalism. It's a guardian-ward relationship in which those that are in control, those that are in the role of government, can rule over all of the rest of you people out there. That's heady. That's what they want to do. That's what they're doing. But should you be ruled over by these men? Should you be ruled over by these politicians? Now, your Creator told you the answer to that's no. You came up with a different conclusion. And that's your choice. You know, you've got a right to do that. But now that you've made that choice, is there a consequence that comes from it? Let's take a look. What do you get from citizenship? Just ask yourself, well, what are the benefits that I get from citizenship? The number one on the list is you can vote. Look at all these people over in Iran. See, they're just over there rioting and having a great time. And then they're dissatisfied with the outcome of the vote. They want democracy. They want to be able to vote. I want to point out here, the Creator of the universe is not a Republican. He's not a Democrat, and he ain't running for office. He's a king. He's a dictator. He is the Grand Poobah. He tells you that very plainly, and he ain't standing for election. I hate to bust your bubble here, but you know, it's just that reality is reality, and the Creator of the universe is not asking you for your vote. He's not going to allow you to vote. He's not going to stand for election, and if you give him any static, he's going to kill you. He's not kind, and he's not gentle. He's a different breed of cat than the average Joe Sixpack God that you've been listening to. But anyway, under citizenship, you get a right to vote. You don't get that from God. The Creator of the universe does not give you the right to vote. You can hold public office. You can get a bunch of your fellow citizens to vote you into office. You can't get that from God. The Creator of the universe has selected His own ministers. So if you want to hold some kind of political office, governmental title, or something like that, you're just SOL. It ain't going to happen here. Now, you can become a citizen of the Kingdom of Israel. There's a process for doing that, and you were advised that would be a good process for you to get involved in. There's no requirement that you do that. It's just that if you don't, then you won't be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if you're not written in the Book of Life, then you go into the lake of fire. And as I pointed out last week, that doesn't mean you're going to hell and burn up for the rest of eternity. It means you're going into a lake that burns with fire and you're going to be consumed and reduced to ashes. So you can't vote and you can't hold public office in the Kingdom of Israel. Now, how about Social Security? Social Security is a social welfare scheme, says our Supreme Court and Fleming versus Nestor. There's no social security program in the Kingdom of Israel. So again, your SOL. Social security is called insurance. And it's called a social insurance policy. It's for the purpose of introducing limited liability so that you don't have to be responsible for your old age or taking care of yourself. There's a bunch of other people who are going to do that for you. It's called limited liability. That's prohibited in the Kingdom of Israel. Everybody has to practice strict liability. There's no limited liability. There's no social security, and there's no insurance or insurance policies. And all of you insurance agents are going to have to go out and get a real job, along with all the bankers and the lawyers. You have to go out and go to work. In the Kingdom of Israel, there will be no lawyers, no bankers, no insurance salesmen, no insurance. There will be no income tax. There will be no property tax. There will be a tithe. And the entire government will be limited, and it will run on 10% of the gross domestic product. 10%. 9% of it will run the state and local governments, and 1% of it will run the federal government. And yes, there will be a federal and a state government. There's a two-tier political system in the Kingdom of Israel. It's called the Aaronic priesthood and the Levitical priesthood. How about welfare? You know, citizenship gives you welfare. Now, so far, as a citizen of the United States, you can vote, hold public office, get Social Security, and welfare. There is a welfare program in the Scripture. It's called third tithe. There's three tithes, more than one. Third tithe means there's two. There's one, two, three tithes plus holy day offerings. There's an economic system and there's a taxing system. Welfare does not come from the taxing system. Welfare comes from the family. It comes from the family patriarch. If the family patriarch cannot take care of you, then the local people will take care of you. If the local people will not take care of you, then the Levitical priesthood will take care of you. If you're blind, halt, if you're deaf, you're crippled, you'll be taken care of. And there's a process for doing that. So both in the Kingdom of Israel and in the Kingdom of the United States of America, we have a welfare program. Food stamps. Here in the United States, food stamps is a big deal. In fact, I saw the other day, 38% of Americans now are on food stamps. 38% of us are on food stamps. Oh my God. Can that be true? Did I get the right number? Did somebody exaggerate? Is that a typographical error? No food stamps in the Kingdom of Israel. And he who doesn't work doesn't eat. Well, save for the guy that's crippled and can't, or the little child that's too young. Now, President Reagan came up with a plan. He called it workfare, out in California back in the 60s. Workfare. That is, if you're going to draw public benefits, you ought to come down to the courthouse and you ought to empty some waste paper baskets or something. School. There is a school benefit that you get from citizenship here in the United States. Free education for all children in public school. It's a 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Can't get that in the Kingdom of Israel. None. Zero. All children will be educated at home. You know, like that. There won't be any religious schools. There won't be any military schools. What would you need them for? You only need military schools when you're planning to go to war. You only need religious schools when you've got some bitch with God and you want to come up with some new religion. He says, you ain't going to put up with that. So you Roman Catholics are going to have to toe the mark. You're going to have to give up Roman Catholicism. Boy, that's going to be a shocker. And all you Protestants and Jews and Muslims and everybody else, you're going to have to give up your religious ideologies. There's no religious freedom in the Kingdom of Israel, the Kingdom of God. The creator of the universe is not going to let you determine how you're going to worship him. That ain't going to happen. So if you're opposed to the Kingdom of Israel on these grounds, you ought to be working hard for democracy. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just pointing out there's some side effects and cause and effect relationships. Let's try hospitals. You see, citizenship here in the United States guarantees you the right to medical care. I don't care who you are, what race, color, or creed you are. You can be a Venezuelan pregnant woman, jump on an airplane, land in Miami, go into labor, walk into any hospital in Miami and have your baby delivered. You got an anchor baby paid for by the taxpayers of America. God love them. Won't be able to do that in the kingdom of Israel, and that's because there's no hospitals, no hospitalization. You got 19 health laws, and the only way you can go to the hospital is by violating one of the 19 health laws, and that'll be a crime. Those crimes will be punished. And you can't get sick. It's against the law. So there won't be any hospitals, so if you come down with appendicitis, you're going to have to go to Exodus 15:26 and go through the process if you want to be healed. No Marcus Welby MDs. Military service. What do you need military service for? See, one of the benefits that you get as a citizen of the United States, you can serve in the military. Now, all you guys that are running off to Canada trying to escape military service, what in the hell do you want citizenship for? You know, if you didn't have citizenship, you wouldn't be eligible for the military. Now, the military does have a process whereby you can join the military as a non-citizen, and then after you've completed your military service, you can apply for citizenship. They're doing that in order to attract people to join the Army. But if you're not a citizen, you can't be drafted into the Army, and if you're not a citizen, you can't join the Army. Did you know that? You have to be a citizen to join the Army. Now, you can pay taxes. In the kingdom of Israel, there won't be any army because you don't need it. What the hell are you going to use an army for? Armies are only for killing people. Do you people really want to run around killing other people? Is that what your goal is in life? I just can't contain myself. I got to join the army. I need to kill somebody. I need to go to Iraq. I need to shoot somebody. I need to go to Afghanistan. You know, I'm 70 years old. I haven't killed anybody yet. And I'd like to live the rest of my life without ever killing anybody. Hadn't been necessary. And I hope it never is. Now, you can pay taxes as a citizen. In fact, you can't pay taxes unless you're a citizen. Only citizens can pay taxes. I don't know if you were aware of that or not, but, you know, so now here you people are. You're sitting out here, you're claiming that you're not 14th Amendment citizens, that you got special citizenship over here, and then you piss and moan, and you say, well, I don't want to pay income tax, but I want to be a citizen. Why? What kind of sense does that make? That's why I said the other day, when I listen to people come into the classroom over here, I'm not really sure that they understand what the outcome is to citizenship. Now, I'm not here to argue with you and tell you that you should or shouldn't be a citizen of this or that country, but citizenship, no matter what country you belong to, has certain duties, obligations, and responsibilities. Now, I'm a citizen. I'm not denying that. And I have a duty, I have an obligation, I have a responsibility to my king. When that guy says jump, I don't ask him how high, you know, or I don't ask him why. I ask him how high, boss. What's the height that you're seeking me to achieve here today? And that's what American citizens are supposed to do. So you tax protesters out there, you're not following the rules. You know, you're over here making claims, and I'm not really sure that you understand what these claims are. We'll take a look at Rachel Templeton here in a minute, and I'll show you what happens here with these taxes. Birth certificate. It's what makes you a citizen. It's what helps make you a citizen. I mean, you don't have to have a birth certificate to be a citizen, but it helps a great deal. And you can't have a birth certificate unless you're a citizen. I like that. So you aliens and foreigners and so on down there, you can't get a birth certificate here in the United States. You got to be somebody that's born here, you know. You got to be a citizen to get a birth certificate. And then employment. You know, people here, they're just really desirous of employment. You cannot be employed without being a citizen. Only citizens can be employed here. Or applicants for citizenship. You got to have a green card. Now, see, remember I told you that I was an expatriate. I'm not a citizen. I'm not an alien. I'm a denizen. I don't have any political rights, and I don't have any economic benefits. I cannot join the auto workers union. I can't get a job at General Motors. I can't get a job working for the State Department, or I can't get a government job patching holes on the highway. Why? I'm not a citizen. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, what a dummy. He can't vote. He can't hold public office. He can't draw Social Security, can't get welfare, can't get on food stamps, can't go to public school, can't get into a hospital, can't serve in the military, he can't pay taxes, he can't get a birth certificate, and he can't work anyways. Can't, I can work, I can't get employment. I can't be employed. Let's see how many things here is that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's 11 benefits that you get from citizenship. And there's probably 11 to 11 more that you can get from being citizenship. But I'm going to start off by asking you, what is it about these 11 benefits over here that you can't live without, that you just really desire? Let's start off here with paying income tax. You know, you people that are tax protesters out there don't want to pay income tax. And then you jump up and you say, well, I'm a citizen. You can't be a taxpayer without being a citizen. And if you're a citizen, you're a taxpayer, come hell or high water. All citizens are taxpayers. I know, I hate to be the guy that busts your bubble here and rains on your parade, but let's take a look at that and I'll show you why. There's a lady by the name of Rachel Templeton. And I put this into the computer here, our brain computers. Because Rachel Templeton, nice lady, lived over in Indiana, and she did a case with the IRS, and she said that she was not a taxpayer. She didn't pay her taxes, and she went to jail for a while. She's dead now. I mean, this lady lived and died, and she didn't like the income tax, didn't want to pay the income tax. She was a citizen of the United States. How do I know that? Court said so. She never denied it. If she was going to beat this income tax rap, she needed to walk in there and say, hey, I'm not a citizen. Here's what the court said. This is the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. The number of this case is 86-1363. I'm reading page 5 of the opinion from the Seventh Circuit. It says, finally, we address Templeton's second argument, in which she claims that she is not a person liable or a taxpayer, as those terms are defined by the Internal Revenue Code and the relevant case law, and as a result that the provisions of Section 6103 do not apply in her case. Period. Now that's her claim. Templeton said that she was not a taxpayer, she was not a person liable to pay the income tax, as those terms are defined by the Internal Revenue Code. Now this isn't the Supreme Court of the United States, but you know, they're not a bunch of slouches. You know, they're not a bunch of pretenders. This is the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. It's the second highest court in the country. Usually, these courts are staffed by pretty knowledgeable people, ordinarily. I mean, they don't have jerks and ne'er-do-wells like little Georgie Gordon over here making these kind of policy decisions. Nobody ever came over here and asked me, hey, Gordon, what's your opinion? So the court said, quote, we agree with the district court that this claim is patently frivolous. So the district court said to Mrs. Templeton, she said, your claim is frivolous. And then the Circuit Court of Appeals comes back and says, hey, we agree with the district court. Lady, you're out to lunch. Now, I know there's a bunch of you people sitting around out there and you're saying, hey, that guy Gordon, you know, he's gone over to the other side. Wait a minute here. Hang on. I might not be the world's number one tax protester, but I'm credited with being that. It ain't so, but that's what I get credit for. I'm just sitting here telling you that the income tax is not unconstitutional. And if you're a citizen of the United States, then you're going to be a taxpayer. Now listen to this. Listen up here. The court says, because Templeton does not dispute that she is a citizen of the United States, and because the code imposes an income tax on every individual who is a citizen or is a resident of the United States, So if you're a citizen or resident of the United States, you're a taxpayer. Now, you may not owe any tax. Whether you owe any tax or not, that's a separate question, but you are a taxpayer. Now, remember, this membership in a political society is called citizenship. It implies a duty of allegiance or worship or obedience on the part of the member, Rachel Templeton, and a duty of protection on the part of the society, on the part of the state. The state owes Rachel Templeton a duty of protection. That's why they give her free hospitalization under Medicare. And that's why they have nuclear-powered submarines running around with nuclear weapons out there in the oceans to protect her from Osama bin Laden, the terrorist. To protect her. See, what we're doing here, we're going to protect you. That's why we have highway patrolmen out there. They're there to protect you. And you could hurt yourself out there with that car. See? All right, so there's that story. Now, just throw that out there for your consideration. I wanted you to see that taxpayers and citizens are like synonymous terms. Now, going back over the list here again, here's what you get. As a citizen, you get to pay taxes, and you don't want to do that. As a citizen, you get to collect Social Security, and you want that. You get welfare. You want that. You want food stamps. You want that. You don't want to pay for Social Security, welfare, food stamps, or public school, but you want those for your benefits. Well, unfortunately, you know, when you're taking the benefits, well, somebody has to provide those. Somebody's got to pay the school marm. You're sending your kid to the 10th plank here. You know, you're sending your kid to free education for all children in public school. Somebody's got to pay the school marm down there to take up her time, effort, and energy to mess around teaching your bread snappers how to add and subtract, which she can't do, but, you know, she's there ostensibly to do that. And then your kid comes out of school and he's a functional illiterate, and you're sitting there wondering, well, what in the hell happened? Well, that's because he's going to real schooling, or Volksschulen. Volksschulen, that's where the 94% go. Now, everybody wants a job. George Bush told us that. You've all got birth certificates, and you wanted it, evidently. Now, many of you don't want to serve in the military, don't want to pay income taxes, but you want employment, don't you? Free hospital care and free public school. Oh, for crying out loud. We want all these benefits, but we don't want to pay for them. We don't want to be responsible. I don't want to be responsible for my old age. I want Social Security to take care of me in my old age. But I don't want to pay that Social Security tax. And by the way, for all of you taxpayers out there, Social Security takes 16.1%. And income tax takes 17%. That's your minimums. Well, 16 and 17, isn't that about 33%? And then, like as not, somebody's going to write me a letter and say, oh, you dummy. Employees don't pay 16%, and that's because their employers pay 9%. Employees only pay 7%. Hey, wake up here, Charlie. And wake up. You got a shop rating that's $25 an hour. The boss is paying you 10. He's taking 10, and you got $5 here to cover your Social Security and unemployment and the rest of your taxes over here. Who produces all of the labor to fix all of the cars and put in all the pipes? Ain't it you, Charlie? Let me tell you something, Charlie. You produce the whole $25 an hour. Got that? The wage earner. The whole $25, including the whole $5 that goes to pay these employment taxes. So, Charlie, you go out here and you produce $25 worth of labor fixing this guy's car. $10 goes to you, $10 goes to your boss, and $5 goes to the government. Now wake up and smell the coffee, Charlie. You're paying the whole 16.1%. Plus $10 an hour for your boss. Plus the $10 an hour for you. Now that's the way that game's being played. I'm an old-timey employer, and I never paid 5 cents worth of payroll tax. Never, never, ever, ever. My employees paid it all. God love them. I love taxpayers. and as a businessman, I never paid a dime's worth of tax at any time for any cause or reason. Just want to let you know that. Businessmen don't pay taxes. They collect those taxes from their customers and their employees and pay them over to their masters. And that's the guardian ward relationship that we get from a business license. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide, daily, over the Internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. And then, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. And it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. No drop-ins, please. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. In the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, that doesn't mean that the authors and publications that we're endorsing and recommending are going to reciprocate and endorse or recommend us here at the law school. Put that out of your mind. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be, not necessarily, but may be hostile. Sometimes they're political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So don't blame them. You blame me. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then we invite you to go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct. And if you call us direct, the number is 417-273-4967. All right, now we are talking about citizenship. This thing of citizenship over here, I think, is bandied about by patriots and tax protesters and others that really don't know quite as much as they think they do. I wouldn't say you're dumb, I'm just saying that there might be a couple of things here that maybe you hadn't considered before. Let me give you another illustration. If you are a denizen is an intermediate between a natural-born subject and an alien. And in South Carolina and perhaps in other states, this civil condition is well known to the law, having been created by statute. In the common law, the word denizen is sometimes applied to a natural-born subject. To be legal, an expatriation must be for the purpose which is not unlawful, nor in fraud of the duties of the immigrant at home. And no citizen can be expatriated in time of war. So now let's take a look at, you know, citizens of the United States. And maybe you're sitting there saying, well, I think I'll just expatriate. Well, now, the United States is at war. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but there's been a war on terror. We've been at war now for, 7 years, isn't it? 6 years anyway. So now that we're in a state of war, Americans cannot expatriate. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there. You people are stuck. You're locked in. You're a citizen. You're locked in. I expatriated long before this war came about. So did my wife and my boy. So we did it because we weren't sure that we wanted to participate in all these wars and all these benefits. Benefits like voting. I took a look at my voting record, and with one exception or two, all the people I vote for lose. So I don't think it would make any difference if I ever voted again, and so I gave up my right to vote. I never wanted to hold public office. I've never run for public office and don't intend to. I don't draw Social Security. I don't want Social Security. I'm trying to avoid Social Security like AIDS, herpes, and VD. So it's a non sequitur. I don't want any welfare. I don't want any food stamps. I don't want public school. I don't want free hospitalization. I don't want health care insurance. My president now is just working his heart out trying to give me health care insurance. God love him. And all the members of Congress just working their hearts out trying to get me Medicare, Medi-Cal, hospital insurance. Just God love them all. Will you leave me alone? I don't want it. I'm sure they're sitting there saying, well, Gordon must be out of touch with reality. Maybe he's suffering from Alzheimer's disease, or maybe he's gone crazy. He's lost his mind. Everybody wants these benefits, don't they? I don't. No, no. Get away. Military service, I don't want to join the Army. I don't want to be in the military. I don't want to pay income tax. I don't want a birth certificate. And I don't want any employment. I was asked one time, why don't you want employment? Because there's no money in it. There's no money in it. I want to spend my time making money. I want to spend my time going out here and doing something constructive, interesting, exciting, that pays well. And I'm doing that. And that's why I don't want employment. Now, I don't want to discourage you from having employment. If you want to work for General Motors or Microsoft or somebody, well, my God, you got my blessing. Get after it. Guy said to me the other day, he says, are you trying to free the slaves? And I said, no, 1,000 times no. I am not trying to free any slaves. Can you people understand that if you freed all the slaves out here in the world, who in the hell is going to do the work? Ladies and gentlemen, we need employees. And I am not trying to free the slaves. Put that out of your mind. So if you're a public official and you're sitting there saying, we got to shut this lunatic up. He's trying to free all the slaves. He's trying to tell all these people. He's trying to tell all these people how to quit paying income tax, get out of their birth certificates, employment, military service, hospital, schools, food stamps, welfare, Social Security, public office, and voting. Trying to free all these people from these great benefits. Hell no. Put it out of your mind. Now, there is a creator out here, and what I am is a reporter. What I like to do, this is what makes my job so rewarding. I like to go out here and tell people that, did you know that there was an alternative to that? Most people, when they're looking at a coin, I like to tell them, have you ever seen the obverse or the reverse? There's heads and there's tails. Have you ever taken a look at the tail side? People that are looking up, I always suggest to them, have you ever tried looking down? People that are moving to the right, I say, have you ever considered the left? You know, there's up, there's down, there's right, there's left, there's heads, there's tails. There's an opposite to this. You know, there's something besides voting. You know, what's the opposite to voting? What's the opposite to public office, Social Security, welfare, food stamps, public school, hospitalization, insurance, military service, taxes, birth certificates, and employment? What's the opposite? Well, the Kingdom of Israel, the Creator of the universe, has an opposite for all of those. It says, hey, wake up over here, guys. We got a different program. And I like to tell people about this different program because it blows everybody away, typically. You know, sometimes they even get excited write me letters, threaten me. Now, there's another outfit over here called Bouvier's Law Dictionary. Bouvier. Listen to some of this. In American law, the one who under the Constitution and laws of the United States has a right to vote for representatives in Congress and other public officers and who is qualified to fill offices in the gift of the people. So you can vote or hold public office. Here's a 14th Amendment citizen. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So says the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Well, okay, but I don't want to be one of those. See, I just want to be an oddball. I don't want to be a citizen. Don't want to pay the taxes. Don't want to vote. Don't want to hold public office. One of the sovereign people, a constituent member of the sovereignty, synonymous with the people. Well, in communism, they call it the proletariat. You want to be a member of the proletariat? And I looked at that and I said, no, I don't think I want to do that. You're a member of the civil state entitled to all of its privileges. I was more interested in rights than privileges. Shucks, I'd like to have some rights. Rights come from our Creator. Rights come from God. I have a right to life. I have a right to liberty. I have a right to property. And they're articulated in our federal constitution. Now, here's what my bitch in life is. If I go out and get a business license, then I bring myself under the terms and conditions of a pre-existing contract, create a guardian-ward relationship for which I can be taxed. So I thought, well, is there some way that I could do business privately without being taxed? And the answer is, well, yes, sir, of course there is. So that's what I elected to do. So I want to do private business without a business license. The law school here isn't licensed. We don't even give out diplomas. You go to school here, no diploma. Isn't that crass? The hell do you need a diploma for? Can't you tell whether you know something or not? Need a piece of paper to remind you how smart you are? I was in Dwight Bickle's office one time. I was really impressed. This is when I was a young kid, you know, still had pimples on my face. And I looked up on his office wall there, and there were 38 pieces of paper. 38. Counted them. Dwight Bickle went to the University of Illinois Law School. At the time, I thought he was the smartest man I ever met in my life. How many people do you know of that have 38 pieces of paper on the wall in their office that tell you how smart they are? Told me about all the great things he did. The only comparable that I can come to is a general that's got all of his life's accomplishments right there on his chest. You ever notice that? Military people do that. They wear all of their accomplishments right on their chest. You see a truck driver? Hell, you don't know what the hell that guy can do. He's wearing a Levi jacket and the big belt buckle and probably wearing cowboy boots, and he's going in to have lunch, and you look at the guy and you say, my God, what a failure in life. He doesn't have any medals on his chest, and he doesn't have any pieces of paper on the wall. We don't know whether this guy has even graduated from high school. We don't know how smart he is. Bickle, he was a great guy. He had 38 pieces of paper on the wall, and I thought he's the greatest thing since sliced white bread. Well, Section 1992, all persons born in the United States and not subject to any foreign power, excluding Indians not taxed, are declared to be citizens of the United States. Oh, my God. If you had an Indian who was not being taxed, he would not be a citizen of the United States. Now, remember I told you yesterday about this Navajo Indian? Leaves the reservation, walks into Ship Rock, and says he wants to buy a drink. He's a denizen. Not a citizen of the United States. He's born under the terms of a treaty with the Navajo Nation. He can become a citizen of the United States. So all you Indians out there, if you want to be citizens of the United States, you know, get after it. But you don't have to. And after I took a look at this, I said, I'm not really so sure that there's a lot of benefits here. I'd kind of like to get out of military service and income tax. That'd be a big step in the right direction. Now, if I could get out of Social Security and the income tax, I could make one-third less money and live just as well as you do. Because the income tax and Social Security take 33% of every... That's one-third, you know. 33%, that's a third of everything you create and produce. You ever think about that? You got 14 taxes that you're paying. 14. At least 14 that you're subject to. And all you taxpayers out there are citizens. Now, has it ever occurred to you, how much tax does this Navajo Indian owe? He just stays right there on the reservation. Doesn't exercise his citizenship. And I know right away some guy says, oh my God, why doesn't he have a job? That's good. If you're a Navajo Indian and you don't have a job, that's good. There's no money in employment. I tested it. I went out and worked. I can make a living. I can pay the rent. I can pay the taxes. But when I get all through, there's nothing left over for me. It takes everything that I make just to live. If that's what you want to do, employment's the thing for you. If you want to make money, you better figure out something else. Because employment wasn't it. And I don't know of anybody that's in employment that's ever made a fortune. Do you? Can you name one? Now, I've known a lot of people that were buying, selling, and trading that made a lot of money. And that's what I thought I wanted to get involved in, buying, selling, and trading. Now, remember, Denisons can do that. And my wife, she's a crafty lady. She bought a house one time for $38,000, sold it for $60,000. $48,000, $50,000. She made $22,000 on that. Well, the equivalent there too. See, she didn't buy it in dollars. She bought it in ounces of gold, and she sold it in ounces of gold. But you know, if I told you that she bought it for $38,000 and sold it for $60,000, you know, you people wouldn't know what the hell that meant. So I have to reduce that to dollars, you know, so you can follow along with the story, which is our purpose here today. I'm trying to tell you a story here so that you can figure out, you know, what do you want to do in life. Now, here on the Law Hour, we're not partisans. We're not trying to get you to join the Republican Party. We're not trying to get you to expatriate your citizenship, move to Germany, or do anything like that, do anything crazy or rash. We're reporters here, and we're trying to report to you that there's some people out there in the real world that aren't paying these taxes. Now, there's a case that came down some years back. And it was called Stewart versus Chinese Chamber of Commerce. And here's what it tells us. Essentially, there are people here in the United States that are taxpayers. And then there's other people here in the United States that are non-taxpayers. And denizens are those people that are non-taxpayers. Now, there's not very many of them. If you wanted to ask me, well, how many denizens do you think there are in the United States? I'd say, well, I think there's 7,000 at least. 7,000. Could there be more than that? There could be. Could there be less than that? I don't believe it. And the reason I don't believe it is because there was a rhetorical statement made by Michael the Archangel to a prophet. His name was Elijah. Elijah was bummed out one day. And he was talking to Big Mike, and then he said, I'm the last man in Israel to practice this law, and they seek my life. And Big Mike said, oh, no, Elijah, there's 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, citizens have to bow their knee, remember, because you owe your duty or fealty or allegiance to your sovereign. That's why when you send your children to public school, they pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Which ain't bad, and I ain't arguing with you now. But you never saw one of these kids pledge allegiance to the creator of the universe or to Jesus Christ now, have you? Because I never did. I'm pretty damn old, and I ain't seen it. So one day I woke up and said, well, what would happen if we stopped pledging allegiance to the United States and we pledged our allegiance to our Creator? What would happen if we quit practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and started practicing the 10 Commandments again? I mean, we used to do that in this country. When we practiced the Ten Commandments, we became the wealthiest, most powerful, most prosperous, politically astute, and wealthy nation on planet Earth. And then in 1933, we jumped the tracks of sanity, went off the gold standard, went off the silver standard, went into a Federal Reserve fiat paper currency, charging interest and usury, dealing in stocks and bonds, and going to cut a fat hog in the back. And now we're going through our second depression in the last 75 or 80 years. And the thing is turning to SH in short order. And then people are wondering, well, I wonder what's going wrong here. Well, it's those 81 laws you're violating. That's what's going wrong. And one of them here has to do with citizenship. One of them has to do with idolatry. This giving God the finger and telling him, I'm practicing the Ten Commandments, but I am going to practice the Ten Planks. You know, like the income tax, second plank to the Communist Manifesto, central bank, fifth plank, eighth plank, Social Security, tenth plank, public school, third plank, which deals with inheritance tax. There's half of them. We Americans are practicing all ten planks to the Communist Manifesto. I was in Salt Lake City one day, and this guy asked me if I would speak to a group of patriots there, and I said, well, yeah, I would. He invited me, and he was the Ford dealer down on State Street. I don't know how far down, you know, 21st, I think it was. And the Ford dealer, and he went in there, and I started off, and I said, how many of you people in here are practicing communists? Everybody looked at me like I was suffering from the stupids. And I said, well, that's good to hear, because I'm from Idaho. I'm a practicing communist. Everybody I know of is a practicing communist. It's a pleasure to come here to Utah, where you people don't practice communism. I said, you're not going to believe this, but up where I'm from in Idaho, we've got public schools. We've got a central bank. It's called the Federal Reserve. Fiat currency. Income tax. Second plank. Social Security. And inheritance tax. God love you people telling you Mormons in Utah for practicing the Ten Commandments instead of the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. And this guy that invited me in, he was the Ford dealer there. A couple hundred people there in his dealership. Chairs all sitting out there. Got up with his wife and seven kids and walked out. Couldn't stand it. He thought I was talking about him. No, I wasn't talking about Mormons. Mormons don't practice communism. They practice the Ten Commandments, don't they? You don't see Mormons running around now, do you? Paying income tax, using Federal Reserve notes, and sending their kids to public schools now, do you? All right. So much for citizenship, so much for denizens, and so much for aliens. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to give you another reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour. We're going through some story time stories, real life experiences based upon the legal processes here in the United States. Got one more program to do. Stick around. Tomorrow night we'll do one more story time program, and I'll take up some more of these stories, and let's see if we can't learn something from them. Meanwhile, back on the farm here, you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated about every week, and it has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.